Good morning, everybody. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Today is Thursday, March the 21st. It is the day that the Lord has made, so let us rejoice and be glad in it. Yesterday we talked about faith, everyday faith, the kind of faith that dwells in the everyday experiences of life. Which prompts me this morning to ask you a question. Are you a tourist or a pilgrim? Are you a tourist or a pilgrim? In 1992, at the International Transpersonal Association Conference in Prague, English, biologist Rupert Sheldrake was asked where he would begin to affect change in the world. How could people begin to grapple with the global crisis? He said, I would change tourism into pilgrimage, help tourists become pilgrims. There is a sign at the entrance of the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem that reads, we are hoping that if you enter here as a tourist, you would exit as a pilgrim. What is the difference between a tourist and a pilgrim? Although both are on a journey, a tourist seeks recreation, whereas a pilgrim seeks recreation. Tourists seek entertainment, maybe even some type of mystic escape. They want to see and do, and they want to be seen doing it. Pilgrims, on the other hand, are seeking something deeper. They travel in the hopes of nothing short of recreation, that is, transformation. Tourists are focused on their surroundings. Pilgrims are fixed on their destination. Tourists want to capture as much as possible of what they see. They are hurried, that is, flustered, agitated, but a pilgrim is carried. Pilgrims are not in a hurry. They are not in a contest to determine who can see the most sights in the matter of days. While tourists focus on scratching off a to-do list, pilgrims focus on following the movement of the Spirit and the presence of the Holy. They mark their progress towards an unseen destination. How do we respond to this world? A world that operates under the assumption that anything worthwhile can be acquired at once. A world that has conditioned our attention spans with 30-second or even 10-second commercials. Quickly and efficiently are the words that fuel our expectations, but have also seeped into the bloodstream of our religious convictions. It makes you wonder, are we following the lead of the Holy Spirit as a pilgrim, or are we just sitting on the sidelines taking pictures like a tourist? Today's obsession for the immediate and the casual makes the work of leading a Christian life difficult, I believe. Just look around. Everyone is in a hurry. Everyone wants shortcuts and is impatient for results. People have adopted the lifestyle of a tourist and only want the high points, the cliff notes. But take Abraham's life, for example. Would you classify Abraham as a tourist or as a pilgrim? I think a pilgrim. He had a pilgrim's mindset that even though God had promised him and his descendants the land, he had to live in it as a stranger, alien, foreigner, pilgrim. Abraham was promised land, but he had to wait. Because a faith that dwells in the everyday experiences of life waits on God to keep God's promises, not knowing when it will be fulfilled. But this kind of faith also doesn't look for ultimate fulfillment down here. Because during the wait and see season, life still goes on. But don't you wish God could just place us in some spiritual anesthetic state, and when we come to, everything would be in place? Don't you wish we could just go into a spiritual coma and wake up and just become the best person, the recipient of promises fulfilled without having to go through anything? But unfortunately, church, life doesn't work like that. As people of faith, we often must live in this world with conditions that seemingly contradict God's promises. That's one of the major flaws in the health and wealth gospel. Faith in God does not inoculate you from tests and trials. Sometimes God's people face tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, and even death, although we've been promised an inheritance. And that's where our theology becomes lopsided, even in the gospel music that we listen to. Because I've heard a lot of songs written that highlights the blessings of Abraham, the inheritance of Abraham. I'm a seed of Abraham. Go get your blessing. But I haven't heard many songs that highlights the struggles of Abraham, the disappointments of Abraham, the patience of Abraham. Yeah, just like Abraham, we have been promised an inheritance, that someday this world will be ours. But in the meantime, in the in-between time, there will be heartache and pain, disappointments and lack, sickness and death, because our ultimate fulfillment does not come from this world, but the world to come. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10 says, "For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God." So here's Abraham, God's promise never seen by him in his life. He never owned land, wandered through Israel, Canaan as a tent dweller. But he never gave up his hope. He didn't abandon his faith in a future promise. It drove him. It motivated him. It pressed him forward. How? Because the most characteristic thing is that faith always anticipates. That is, it moves toward a clearly expected event in the future. But without faith, life must therefore be a blind march into the mystery. The future is an imponderable enigma to those without faith. Anything can happen. Therefore, there is always a sense of anxiety in trying to look ahead. But faith believes that God has revealed something about the future, not everything, but something. And what God has revealed is enough to sustain us in the here and now. Could that be the reason that our ancestors during the dark days of slavery talked about future rewards? Because they believed that earth was not their home? Just think about the songs they sang during slavery. "Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home." Or what about "When I get to heaven, gonna put on my robe, gonna to shout all over God's heaven." Or what about "We'll soon be free, we'll soon be free, when the Lord will call us home." Slave masters didn't write these songs. That would have been an obscenity. Rather, these songs came from the mouths of slaves themselves, people who had little hope in this world, but abiding hope in the world to come. And I believe God gave them something, some type of glimpse. Oh, he revealed something about the future, and whatever it was enough to sustain them during their struggles. All I'm trying to tell you is that faith seizes upon a revealed event and begins to live in anticipation of it. Anticipation is powerful, isn't it? Abraham was looking for the city which has the foundations, whose architect and build his God. Don't miss that. Abraham, he wasn't looking for a lonely spot in the desert. He wanted to live in a city, a place filled with other people. But he also looked for a city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. The city with the foundations stands in contrast with life in a tent, which has no foundation. Abraham wasn't looking for Las Vegas. He wasn't looking for New York City or California or any other major metropolitan area, but he was looking for a city, get this, where God was both the builder and the architect. Don't miss this, because when God builds something and design it, the foundations are solid and secure. Abraham was looking for something that was beyond this world. He wasn't looking for an earthly city, because nothing built by man lasts forever. One of Robert Frost's most famous poems that I love is, he says, "Nature's first green is gold, her hardest hue to hold, her early leaf's a flower, but only so an hour, then leaf subsides to leaf. So Eden sank to grief, so dawn goes down today, nothing gold can stay." And it's those four words that rang ever so true. Nothing gold can stay. We live, we die, we buy a house, we sell a house. Someone moves in where we once lived. We take a job, we leave a job, and someone takes the job we used to have. And if we are fortunate enough to have a corner office with an incredible view, we should remember that someone else had it before us and someone else will have it after us. If this moment is golden for you, enjoy it. But don't grasp it too tightly, because it won't last forever. Nothing gold can stay. That's why you need to set your sights on something beyond the here and now. Let me ask you a personal question, and I'm done. How long do you expect to live? Or let me rephrase that. How many more years do you think you have left before someone attends your funeral? 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years? Take whatever number popped up in your mind and ask yourself this: how much of that time is guaranteed? That's an easy question. None of it. The truth is, you could die tomorrow or you could die today. No one knows how long he or she will live or precisely when they will die. But quantity isn't the issue. That is, it matters not how long you live, but how well you live. Someone once said that, and I want you to get this. They said some people die at 25, but ain't buried until they are 75. This powerful statement speaks to the danger of going through the motions of life. We can become so caught up in the routines and worldly pursuits that we miss out on the true richness of living. But what if life could be an adventure of faith? Living by faith is not predictable, but rather an exhilarating adventure. While the highs fills us with joy and awe, church, is often the lows that fuel our deepest growth. Challenges test our resolve and ultimately strengthen our faith. They push us to rely on God in ways we might not otherwise. It fosters a sense of divine partnership. Unexpected twists and turns keep us engaged, reminding us that God's plan is often far grander than our own limited vision. I mean, have you ever been in a situation that no human reasoning could get you out of? Maybe it was a seemingly impossible financial crisis, a health scare that defied all odds, or facing a betrayal that brought you to your knees. One that the only way out of it was through it. And when you went through it and looked back on it, the only words that could fill your mouth were, "If it had not been for the Lord on my side, tell me, where would I be?" You see, it's in overcoming that. It's in overcoming those obstacles and witnessing God's faithfulness in the valleys that our faith becomes truly unshakable, the adventure of faith. You see, the journey of faith is a lifelong adventure with its share of mountaintop moments and dark valleys. But I want you to remember, church, even when the path seems uncertain, that you are never, ever alone. That God walks beside you, a steady source of strength, guidance, and unwavering love. That as you face the challenges and opportunities that lie ahead, I want you to hold fast to your faith. It ain't got to be a whole lot of faith, but just a mustard seed of faith. And let that mustard seed of faith be the anchor that keeps you grounded, the compass that guides you forward, and the light that illuminates even the darkest of nights. So welcome. Welcome to the first day of the rest of your life. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. All we have is right now. If you're new to the call this morning, thank you so much for joining us. My name is Marcus D. Collins, and I'm a part of a community called Grace Church, and we're just thrilled that you and all of you, I'm just thrilled that all of you got up this morning to share in this sacred space with us. So choose to embrace this day, to walk in faith and allow God's love to transform you from the inside out. All right, let's pray. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together, for the reminder that you are with us always on the mountaintops, through the valleys, and in the everyday moments. We ask for the courage to live a life of vibrant faith, a faith that doesn't shy away from challenges, but sees them as opportunities for growth and deeper connection with you. Forgive us for the times we get caught up in the past or even worry about the future. Help us to truly live in the present moment, anchored by your love. Grant us, Father, the strength to see beyond our circumstances and recognize the blessings you place in our path each day. And may the ups and downs of our journey serve as a testament to your faithfulness, and may we in turn radiate your love and compassion to all we encounter, becoming beacons of hope and a living example of the transformative power of the love of Jesus that gives us the capacity to receive and live into a new identity. As we start this new day, we open our hearts to you, and we ask that you would guide our steps, illuminate our path, and equip us to live a life that glorifies your name. Father, we lift up those who may be dealing with a crisis of faith, those who are struggling with doubt and questioning your presence. Meet them in their pain with compassion and understanding. Reveal yourself to them in unexpected ways, rekindling their faith and offering them comfort in their uncertainty. Lord, as we prepare to really get our day started, and some haven't even left the house yet, I pray that you would grant them traveling grace and mercy. Lord, that you would be with us throughout today. We come against any hurt, harm, or danger that may prevent us from reaching our destination safe, sound, and secure. Lord, we ask that you would cleanse us from the inside out, that you would renew our minds, that you would forgive us for sins committed, sins of omission and sins of commission. Nothing righteous dwells in us. So, Father, we pray that you would cleanse us and that you would give us a peace today that surpasses all understanding, that as we go into the workplace and as we go into the schools and as we move about today, Lord, I pray that you would just cover us, that you would just put us in some type of bubble, that you would sing over us, that we would know the joy of the Lord today is truly our strength. And may that joy spill over, that others may see our light and say that there is something different about you. What is it? And we get a chance to share with them the joy of the Lord, to share with them how you make the difference. Father, you've been so good to us and you've been so kind. So, Father, go with us and stand by us today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Come on, everybody, shout amen and amen. Thank you so much for tuning in this morning. I pray that the call was a blessing. As always, it will be uploaded to our website at gracechurchal.com. Click on that 40-day fasting flyer, and it will take you to the all the replay calls. Hey, listen, I am praying for you today. I am rooting for you. So be watchful, be mindful, be careful, and be encouraged. Peace.